Everybody, let's stand all over the house. Let's get ready to worship on today, for this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice. We shall rejoice. Come on, I said we shall rejoice. Come on, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. If you're happy that this is a day God has made for you to celebrate, why don't you shake three hands and say, I'm ready to celebrate. Tell them I'm ready to celebrate. Let's look to the heavens. Father God, thank you this morning for your greatness. For you are our God. And there is none other that can compare with you. We bless your name and we honor you for being the true and living God. We're going to lift our hands in worship. We're going to avail ourselves to your presence. And you're going to get the honor and the glory on today. The enemy is defeated. And God, you are exalted. The enemy is defeated. And God, you are exalted. Someone give God a praise.
Hallelujah. Welcome home. It's Welcome Home Sunday. We're excited that you're here with us today. We've just come off an entire, I pray you're all there at least one night at Rock the City. 194 people got their hearts right with Jesus. There were, can you believe this? From where we were in Grove Street Park, we were told last night they could hear us over the Walnut Street Bridge all the way down to Mount Zor. It's just phenomenal. The very first night, over 650 people were in the fields. We fed, I believe, that night 500 people. And then each night, we didn't really drop at all. We were still, I think we had one night Tuesday because of the threat of rain. But last night, everybody wanted the car so bad, it was still pretty packed out. And a gentleman who had been there all five nights won the car. It was awesome. My wife and I just want to say thank you so much for serving. We have such an amazing church. You know, not only did the community say so, I had a man come over to me right near the hot dog food, right near the hot dog stuff, and he said, you know, I've been living here 30 years, right over there, and he pointed to his house. He said, I've been living here 30 years, and he said, you know, the neighborhood has gone down so badly, but he said, I refuse to give up my home. And he said, you know what? He said, I've been listening to you from the porch the last two nights, but my wife and I, we don't go to church or anything. We just had to come over. And the next two nights, he was there. And you know, he heard the gospel. And I just want to tell you a miracle. We only had one person complain. That is a miracle. Just one person complained through the whole thing. It was amazing. I'm thinking, wow, what's wrong, devil? We chased you far. So I just want to say, can you just turn to someone and say, thank you so much for giving. Tell somebody else, thank you so much for loving. We truly impacted the city of Elmira. All you volunteers, thank you so much. You put in so many hours. You know, people that no one saw were there till 10, 11 o'clock at night, putting away chairs and putting away sound equipment, putting away TV equipment. It was awesome. The volunteers here that fed the guests, some of them were here. I know Jen Larson. She lives an hour away. There she is. She lives an hour away. She was here till 11, 12 o'clock sometimes. And then she'd still have to drive an hour to go home. I just want to say thank you. Without this, people's lives wouldn't be changed. And 194 lives were changed. That's a lot of people. That doesn't include their generations. That doesn't include the children that will be impacted and the neighbors that they will impact. Man, we'll never see or know truly the reverberation of what God has done through Rock the City. I think everyone wants us to do it 2 weeks next year. I hope you're in for it. Start preparing. We'll take over for 2 weeks. And we'll make at least two people mad, I promise. Amen? My wife's going to open in prayer.
Father, we just thank you so much. Father, we thank you so much for your holy presence and your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are in this place today, Father, to water the seeds that have been planted throughout all this week. We thank you that we will become rooted and grounded in you. We thank you for your holy presence that changes and transforms. So right now we present ourselves as living sacrifices for you, Lord Jesus. Come in, transform, change, lift up, heal, make everyone whole as we enter into your holy of holies and into your presence this morning. We worship you and we praise you and we lift you up, Father God, because you deserve all of the praise. You are awesome and you are mighty and you are amazing. We love you, Jesus. You are awesome. Thank you, Father God, in your precious name.
If you're watching by live stream, get ready to worship right where you are. Let's enjoy the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Repeat after me. The Lord is high above the heavens.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
And his glory is above the nation.
And his glory above the nation.
Him in all your ways, let all the people say, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
Somebody clap those hands and give us the glory. And the glory is above the nation.
And the glory above.
He's the true living God. The Lord is high above the heavens.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
Come on, let's lift him up today. And his glory above the nation.
And his glory above the nation.
It says this. Oh, give God the highest praise and fellowship in all your ways. And all the people say, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can't have my family.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
I said you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
Oh, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Oh, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have. You can't have. You can't.
Break out, break out.
break out, heaven come down, sing with me, Spirit break out.
Come on, sing it. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy.
Holy.
Are you Lord God?
Are you Lord God?
Almighty.
Almighty.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you know everything about us. And Jesus, I thank you that you care about the needs that even nobody knows about in our lives. Some of us are struggling, Lord, even in this room with our relationship with you. God, I pray in Jesus' name that even in the anointing, that you'll breathe a fresh breath of fire in our spirit, that God will hunger and thirst after you like we have never done before. Lord, we take and rebind the devil who would try to put things in our lives that would discourage us, that would distract us. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that we'll put you back on the pinnacle place of our heart. And we'll declare, my God is number one. This morning, the Lord wants to heal some folks. As an individual, I first felt it in the Achilles heel in the left foot. And now I feel it coming up the bone about 4 inches on the inside of your left foot from your ankle bone up in the bone. The Lord wants you to know he heard your prayer and he's healing you right now in the name of his son, Jesus. There's also an individual you're dealing with incontinence. It's a very private thing. You don't publicize. No one, very few people know. There are a few. But you have incontinence, and the Lord is fixing you this morning in the name of Jesus. You're very embarrassed all the time, very worried all the time. In Jesus' name, I command right now the bodily functions to work properly according to the hand and the power of God. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you care about those quiet things. Lord, I know sometimes you give those words of knowledge just simply to let people know you care about what nobody else knows about. Father, every one of us in this room have something going on in our lives. Lord, it's not all bad, but there are things, Lord, little obstacles, little trials in our lives. And we thank you, Jesus, that even this morning, you're so faithful to show us that you care about every single need. So, Holy Spirit, we release healing in this room. Healing in the physical body. Even as we prayed last night, we cursed the devil of cancer in Jesus' name. We command it to come out of the body and dry up and die. Lord, we speak to the cells and command them to turn. Father, we thank you for those, Lord, that you're healing right now of a broken heart. I just sense in my spirit that the Lord wants someone to know here specifically that in this next week, you're going to experience a broken heart. And you're going to remember even the prayer that was prayed this morning. And the Lord is going to comfort you, knowing that before it occurred, he was already praying for you and talking to you. You see, Father, I thank you that you care about every single situation in our life. Lord, I just speak blessing over this house. Lord, you said, he that winneth souls is wise. Father, the people of this house love souls. God, I thank you that you're going to baptize us all with a fresh outpouring of your love. That, God, we will love people like we've never loved them before. There's an individual on the right side that goes to the top of the belly button. I'm not sure if it's a tear or what, but God is healing. You feel the pain. It's not in your intestines. It's at the level of your belly button. And God, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you're bringing healing to that body right now. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you that you love us so much. And today, God, we rejoice because we can be in your presence. And that's what matters to us. We could be anywhere else right now. We could be laying in bed at a sporting event. God, we could be playing golf. Lord, cooking in the kitchen. Lord, there's so many things we could be doing, but we choose to make you number one and be in your house to glorify your name and to give you the honor that is due you, for you are a good God. Amen. I said, amen. Why don't you turn to 5 or 6 people and say, I just love being home on every Sunday. Why don't you go meet some folks that you don't know this morning? We have guests in the house. Go shake some hands and tell them, hey, it's so good to have you in Daddy's home today. Don't sit down. Go find somebody you don't know. Don't sit down. Go find somebody you don't know and say, good morning. Welcome to Father's house today. church. Don't be a snob. Hallelujah. Look at, turn around to somebody and say, good morning. Even if you don't like them, it's a good thing.
Your promise still
good morning.
Stands. Great is
hallelujah.
Your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never.
Isn't it nice to be friendly? Bible says if you want to have friends, you've got to be friendly. Meeting new people means you get an opportunity to enjoy the harvest of their life. Ma, how are you? Did everybody meet at least one new person? Yes? Did anybody? Hi, Brother David. How are you, sir? He's got his whole family sitting right there with his beautiful bride. Amen.
I never will forget. You never failed me yet. I never will forget.
Are you new to the church thing? Or maybe you just started your walk with Jesus and you're wondering what to do now. And you would like to go to the next level. Next steps is what you need.
And each step enables your advancement in creating a new lifestyle for you. Step one will be the foundation, which gives you solid ground for step two, which is the building process.
Growing into step three, expanding your ability to reach step four, ultimately fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life, living in full victory.
Pastor Dean, how can people get involved in the Next Steps program?
It's very simple. We're implementing the program now. We can get people started right away. So make sure you stay tuned for more information.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Hey family, it's time to move forward. Water baptism is likening unto the death and resurrection of Jesus. So when we are water baptized, we're dying to the flesh, to the old self. So when we come back up a new person, new creation, changed, transformed. So sign up today for water baptism, September 25th, for both first and second service. Don't miss this. This is your time.
That's next week. Make sure you sign up. Praise the Lord. There's so much going on here. I don't know if you're bored, man. I don't know why you're bored. That means you're not getting involved. And everybody needs to join the Next Steps program. Everybody say, Next Step? Which, you know, maybe you're on number one, maybe you're on number two, maybe you're on zero. Today is the day to start your Next Step program. What this is how to grow. We want you to grow up in Christ, not just get saved, not just go to heaven, but that you'll make a difference in people's lives. Certain some say, you've got destiny. And that's the truth. You have destiny, and God's got a great plan for you. Don't settle for just going to church. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. And if you're a first-time guest, we have a gift for you. We're not going to embarrass you, make you stand up or anything like that. But we want to bless you this morning with a mug and a little information. And so if you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, if you could raise your hand, we'll have somebody bring it right to your chair. Oh, hands are up. I see some of those hands. They just want mugs. Hallelujah. Very good. Very good. Glory to God. Young man over that side. Praise God. Anybody else? First time guest. Can we welcome all of our first time guests? Second service is probably going to be packed with first time guests. We're running a bus down where we just went down and did ministry. I'd love to be able to fill at least one bus a week. At least one bus a week. Just where we did ministry. God is so faithful. We also want to welcome our online campus. We have folks from all over the world watching this morning. Can you give them a hand clap this morning? We have a free mug for you. We'd love to have you in the house. If you're close by, please make it come to the house of the Lord. I was just watching on Facebook, and there was a man saying, I love that church. I listen to it every week. We love that you listen. We'd love to have you here. So please come. We know you'll be blessed. Live stream is great. Being in the presence where you're right in there is totally different. Totally different experience. So I'd encourage you to come, not just watch by live stream. Although, if that's where you are, we love you. You're our online campus. Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. As we enter into this time of tithes and offering with joy, this is one of our favorite times as His Tabernacle. You're such a generous and giving church. The reason that we give with such great joy is the Word of God tells us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Tithe simply means 10%. So it's our honor to give to God our 10% because everything that we have comes from Him in the first place. So one of the reasons we give is so that we can honor God. Another reason that we give is so that there is enough for every good work. For every good work. And His Tabernacle, you put your hands to the plow this past week, and we had enough for every good work. So it is our joy to enter into this time of giving so that we can honor our God and bring Him to our community. Stand to your feet. Let's get ready to give. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. It's from Deuteronomy 28, and if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Praise the Lord. All right. On today, the kids are getting ready to sing, but we're going to really need your help on today. This is a song we're going to need as many people out in the audience to help us to do. So today, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to become Broadway performers, which simply means we're going to be singing and... Okay, somebody is smart in the audience. We're going to be singing and dancing. But we're going to show you guys a move real quick, and I want you all to do this if you can. If you have a child up here, every time we do this part called Submerge, I want you to stand up, and I want you to go like this. And you're going to say, Submerge. All right? Do I got any parents out there, anybody that's going to help the kids? Stand up on your feet. Let's practice it one time. I know some of y'all don't have no rhythm, but it's okay. Just... You got a gift. We're going to go this way on the count of two. You're going to say one, two, like you're swimming. And then one, two, like you're swimming. Go down, come up, and say submerge. Are you ready? One, two, ready, and one, two, down, and up. Oh, you got it. All right. One more thing, and then we're going to start. Now you got to say the word submerge. You got to scream it out while you're doing that dance move. All right? And then you're going to say submerge. So this is how it's going to go. Let's show them real quick. One, two, ready, and submerge. Submerge. All right, you ready? Father God, help us today. Okay, here we go.
Wasn't that awesome? We want to get these kids submerged in the presence of Jesus so they don't have to go through some of the junk we went through. Can I hear an amen? Man, when they get a hold of God at this age, they don't have to go through the mess. Amen? That's what I just want to thank all the parents for being so faithful, bringing your kids. Why? Because this is allowing them. We don't do babysitting here. We do life training here in the presence and the power and the Word of God. So I just want to thank Pastor Johnson. Thank you. Brenda Ostrander, where is she? Thank you, Brenda. Come here, honey. This is Sister Brenda. She's over all of the children's ministries. That's huge, by the way. She has more in children's ministries than most people have in their church. That's no lie. There's over 200 and I believe 60 or 80 children a month that she's responsible. And that does not include the Wednesdays and or Thursdays that she does ministry with. So we just want to thank her and her entire team. Come on, can you give her one more hand clap? It's big. It's big to be seeing how many children get ministry a week. Not only that is, we always ask for help. Now, listen, we aren't the church that just lets anybody in to help. This is a 7-page application. We do a police background check. Now, listen, if you were smoking weed and got caught, that's not coming up. We mainly check for the background dealing with child crimes and things in that manner. But if you're here and you love to invest in the next generation, I believe one of the rooms is called Transformation. The Transformers. We believe in transforming the children to where they will pray for you as mom and dad. You don't have to pray for them. They're going to know how to lay hands on you. They're going to get saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, moving in the power of God. This is not babysitting. This is empowering the next generation. Because who we want this church to be in 10 years is who they're going to be in 10 years. So we got to train them up right. Amen? So let's give Sister Brenda, she hates this. Let's give her one more hand clap. If you'd like to help, you'd like to be a person that invests in the next generation, just go out to the table out there. I believe it's the His Kids table, and they have applications right there available for you. We just want you to know that we believe in the babies and the next generation. They're one of our core values here at His Tabernacle. And we not only say it, we prove it because we invest in them. Amen? Praise the Lord. What's that? We have a video. Hit it.
Of eternal promise, stirring in your sons and daughters, earth revealing heaven's wonders, this power is within us.
Good to us. This morning, my wife and I, we do this very few times. We want to team preach because this is Welcome Home Sunday. And one of the things that's on our heart is the fact of making sure that everybody understands the biblical principle dealing with home. Turn to someone and say, home. You know, there's a concept that has permeated the body of Christ that deals with church. And I want you to know that God's concept of what church is and what man's concept of what church is totally different. And we're seeing that in the American church today more than we've ever seen it before. I have a friend of mine who has a church of 6,000 in Portland, Oregon. And every week he only has 4,000 or 3,500 at times in his church building. And maybe he would say, wow, that's a horrible pastor. I don't understand. In fact, he told me himself that he would have to preach 5 weeks in a row, the same message to hit all 6,000. But what's happened is the concept of understanding God's word is what's been missing. And many of us are dealing with real life. Now, some of us work. Some of us, you know, you don't have a choice to be there not every Sunday. But many of us have fallen into the path and have allowed the lies of the demonic to get into our lives to take us away from God's perception, God's creation of what we call home. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me. Actually, you probably can't because you can't see. But Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. And it says this. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Turn to someone and say, I'm part of God's house. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, that's you, turn to someone and say, you're the building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You know, one of the things that has been a challenge as pastor in ministry is watching how people no longer go to church or keep church as a priority. Now, when I was a child, and my wife as well, church was a lifestyle. It wasn't a place you went to. It was home. It was normal. It was the place that you went to, and when you went there, it was, you know, I'm not really still not sure who all my uncle and aunts are. I called everybody uncle and everybody aunt. It was just a normal process of family. And what's happened in an American church on Welcome Home Sunday, we want to talk about this because we want your year to be different. See, some of us have come into the place where God and church is not a lifestyle anymore. It is just a place you go to. But we want to transition your mindset and transform your mindset to the Word of God, because God's Word is above our Word. God's Word is above our Word. God's Word is above our priorities. God's Word is above all of our desires. Well, that was a weak amen. God's Word is above all of our desires. You see, when we understand the Word of God and place it where God has called it to be, then it's too hard to be distracted. But when Christ's Word is not pinnacle, then it's easy to be distracted. You see, church is home. This is not where God dwells. God dwells inside of us. But this is what he calls his house, where we come together. This is not a new concept. In fact, man did not create church. God created church. I've had men say to me, well, you know, pastor, I'm not a church-going guy. I just kind of have my church up in the tree stand. Well, that's nice, but that's not God's nice. You see, we've got to get back to what God's idea is, because it's God's way that's going to make success come our way, not our way making God do what we desire. Amen? I said amen. Amen. You know, I look at church every week as a family dinner. That's something we do in our house all the time. In fact, it's really funny because as we've been looking for a house, one of the things that we've always had to look for, I mean, really look for, is the room. Now, I found this house that I really liked, and my wife said, well, we've got to get the kids here. I'm thinking, why do we have to have the kids here? She said, because they got to approve it. And I said, that makes no sense to me. But really what it is that we spend so much time as a family, every Sunday afternoon, our entire family, up to, sometimes we have up to 30 people are at our house every Sunday right after church. That's a lot of folk. Every Wednesday we have family dinner. Every Wednesday, our entire family comes over to our house for family dinner. And every single Friday morning we have family breakfast. So we really have placed a position where family is priority. Because really, when everything is said and done, what you're really going to remember is not what you left in your bank account, but what you did with your family. I like talking to older people because I love asking them a simple question. If you could do anything over again in your life, what would it be? And especially I love talking to businessmen and businesswomen. And this is the majority of what they have said. It's not, Pastor, that I regretted my life altogether. But if I had to do it over, I wouldn't have spent as much time doing business as spending time with my family. You see, when you see God's house as your family, when you see God's house as dinner on Sunday morning, I mean, when we come to the house of God on a Sunday morning, it's coming to Daddy's house for dinner. And when we're in Daddy's house, that's when we start to hear what His passion is for our lives. That's when we start feeling the love that you can't get out there in the world. That's when you start experiencing the growth process. Because let's be honest, not all family members get along. Home is where you grow up. Yes. Home is where you mature. Yes. You know, there are babies out in the sanctuary this morning. Brand new babies, and they're beautiful. But you can't leave them to eat a steak. They have to be trained, and they have to be taught. They have to be changed, and they have to be coddled. They have to be encouraged. That is part of growing up. And then you have toddler, you know, like my grandbaby. I really love my grandbaby, Sophia. And she talks a lot. And the other day I was in the living room and she's in the kitchen with my wife and I hear, "Michael, come here." I said, "What?" Because my name is Bampy. Because she can't say Grampy, so she calls me Bampy. But she said, "Michael, come here." It's like, "What?" But you see, it's in the house, it's in the home that we're trained, that we're reared, that we learn how to parent. We learn how to have our values. We learn how to have our systems. And what happens when the enemy keeps us out of home on a Sunday morning, then we don't get our value systems established, especially when we're young, when we actually need them. Because when we get older, we can't always be home. But if our systems are settled and we know the values of our home, then when we get into adulthood, we then can reproduce. You see, we have babyhood, we have toddler, we have adolescence. Adolescents are always mouthy. Teenagers always believe they know more than you. The young adults are just trying to figure out their own life, dear Lord. And then you have adults, and many times what happens when we forget what home is, that God's house is home, then what occurs is simply this, is that we get adults who are living lives of their own, and they never come home. We had a situation where my daughter was doing some extracurricular activities on family night. And I was actually quite miffed. Why was I bothered? I was bothered because it's family night. I expect you to be home. Your other activity, cancel it if you got to cancel it. But we expect you home for supper. Mama made supper. She spent time cooking the supper. I expect you to be home for supper. Now, if you got to leave a little early, that's all right, but I expect you to be home for supper. Amen. Amen. Come on, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You slaved in the kitchen all afternoon, and then all of a sudden your husband calls you as you have it all placed on the table and says, "Sorry, I'm going to be busy. I can't come home." Or simply, they don't call. Man, we see that a lot in the house of God. And because it's not about control or about, hey, you know, you got to do it my way. And, you know, this is about church attendance. No, this is home. And this is Welcome Home Sunday. We want to talk to you about home, because home is everything. Because when everything is shaken and everything is said and done, what you have is home. You know, we're working with this new process called Next Steps. And this is allowing you to grow from stage to stage. The first step is called foundation, where we're going to get within you the principles and the oracles of God. Number two, how to grow up and build up a little bit more. Number three, how to expand. And then how to fulfill God's will for your life. You see, those who make God's house home are more stable than those who just visit. You know, we had young people that used to live with us. We've had many young people that have lived with us. Many young people that have lived with us. Cody would come to us and say, you know, my friend has no place to go. Can he live with us? And in my head, I'm saying, no. And my wife says, oh, yeah, bring him on. We had one young man live with us for an entire year. And his mother never called him once. We took him on vacation with us. We brought him to school. We fed him. We clothed him. He was probably 15. And his mom never called once. This was the only home that he knew. You see, you've got to establish home in your heart. God's house on a Sunday morning, God's house during the week, is not just, hey, well, I guess I got to go to church today. It's, man, I got to go to family supper. And I'm not always excited about family supper. Sometimes I want to tell my children, go home. I'm just being honest. My kids stay till 9 o'clock at night sometimes. And go home. And my wife is like, no. Want some more food? It's all about home. And you know, this is so important to us because I don't want you to think of this as church. We want you to know this as home. And when you understand home, it's not about, well, I guess I got to go to church today and do my religious little obligation. It's about, man, you know, daddy's going to stand up there. And you know, that's the great part about the word of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. And that was Paul talking. You see, I don't see myself as your hired preacher. I never have. You could never pay me enough to be your hired hand. I don't preach on Sundays because it's my job or my vocation. My wife and I really believe the word of God, and I believe there are not many fathers of the faith. There are not many who truly care about you and will walk through situations with you. And you see, in our hearts, we see this as spiritual parenting. And being home, you know, it's funny because I'll have people, they'll just disappear. And you'll call them after a few weeks and say, hey, what's going on? And they'll say, well, I moved out. I'm going to a different church. And immediately, as a pastor, I know they just simply don't understand, or they're just simply disrespectful. Because I would never allow my child at 15 years old to look at me and disappear. Cody, where are you? Oh, well, I've moved into the neighbor's house. You see, this is how the world gets into the church and warps its concepts, warps the word. This is not about church or religion. This is about family. And everybody in this room, your family. You're part of the household of faith. Your father, number one, is Father God. Can I hear an amen? Jesus is the head of the church, and he's placed my wife and I and the pastors of this church to have the great honor and privilege of being under shepherds here and spiritual parents within the home. And it's so imperative that we get and purge out of us the concept and mindset that this is about going to church. This is about family. And listen, your brothers and sisters need you. Some of you have gone through hard situations and you've gone through it, and now somebody needs you to help them through. This is what we're here for. We're family. Amen. Rhonda, what are your thoughts?
Well, one of the first things that came to mind when you were talking about babies and adolescents and maturity and the next steps is that sometimes it doesn't matter how many years you've been at church. Haven't we seen where somebody's gotten saved and they get it? They get that this is home, this is where they get nourished and fed, and they go to every class that they can go to, and they just accelerate so quickly to that place of maturity. And then, yeah, others may have been here 18 years and still in infant stage. So we just encourage you to get involved in the next steps. Don't just start. Finish. As parents, we want to see our children even more successful than we are. And our success is making you successful. That's our great joy. I want to share with you a passage of scripture, Acts 2, verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That is what we need to do, is to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. You see, what happens in modern culture is we meet Jesus, and he is awesome, and he is incredible, and we get plugged into Jesus, our life source, and we begin to flourish and grow, just like our passage of scripture this year, that we become like a tree planted by the waters that bears forth fruit in every season and prospers in everything. That's what happens when we get saved. But in modern culture, we don't treat God's house like home. It's more like religion, because we give it 2 hours a week. If you're plugged into the life source for 2 hours a week, you are going to die and not be healthy and not grow. It requires being plugged into the life source more than just 2 hours on a Sunday morning. So I want to encourage you not only to get connected, but remain connected. Continue, as the Word of God says in Acts. And this is when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And when the Holy Spirit gets poured out in your life, it changes your life. Not just 2 hours on a Sunday morning. It becomes everyday real in your life. So we need to get connected, and we need to remain connected to the tree, to the life source, to our home, to our family in the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you have that crazy family member? That family member that just drives you crazy. You know what? In the family of God, there is every part of the family. Can I hear an amen? With that, though, some people choose to cut themselves off from the life source because of that crazy or that hurt or that offense or that thing that happened. And you know what? It might look like you're okay. It might look like everything is fine on this tree right now, but if you cut yourself off from the life source, from the house of God, which he tells us in his word to remain in, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. As much as possible, get together with the house of God. But if you cut yourself off for a little while, it'll look okay, but I promise you, a tree limb that is cut off, that does not remain connected, will surely die. It will surely die. So get connected, and when those bumps come in the road because of crazy family, stay connected. If you do not, God didn't do those things. That is not God. That is imperfect people. How many of you out here are perfect? I didn't think so. God is perfect. He doesn't do any of those things. We cannot cut ourselves off from the life source. We need to remain connected to the life source so we can, like Psalms 3 says, can you read Psalms 3 for me? Psalms 1, verse 3.
Psalms 1. You should be like a tree planted by the water whose leaf will never wither. Here we go. You want to read it over here? I don't have it right there, dear. I memorized it.
Well, then quote it.
Oh. Should be like a tree planted by the water who will produce fruit in its season, whose leaf shall never wither, and whatsoever he touches shall prosper.
Amen. That is our whole theme for this year, is that we will become like trees that are planted, that we will bear fruit in every season, and we will prosper. But if you're not in the house of God, if you're not connected to the life source, you will not grow. Your branch will die, and it will wither. At no point should you break yourself off from fellowship and continuing in the doctrine, unless the tree you are connected to is unhealthy. And how you know a tree is healthy or unhealthy is that it has leaves, that it bears fruit, and that it produces, and it has roots. Do not trust your feelings. By your fruit, you will know them. Don't trust your feelings when crazy aunt so-and-so or crazy uncle so-and-so or your brother or your sister or your mother or your father makes you upset or you don't like what Daddy Abba Father had to say in his word. At no point should you cut yourself off from that based on your feelings, because I know when I open this word, sometimes it hurts my feelings. And sometimes I don't like what it has to say because it's contrary to what I feel. But we must remain connected. Get connected and remain connected.
It's exciting to see how God changes lives. How many of you are a changed life? Amen. We'd love to have Cassie come up. We want to have her give her testimony real quickly. And I know she's really nervous. We did prep her for this. We didn't just pull her out. You see, changed lives are the only thing that lasts forever. You ready, honey? Come on over here. Honey, you better get over here because she's already starting to cry. I'm not sure how this one turns on.
Hello?
You can't see them, so you're safe. See the front row. They're all...
Hi, everybody. I just first and foremost want to say that God is not dead.
Amen.
And he is a reason why we are all able to be here today. I just want to let you know that I am a perfect example of somebody who has lost everything. And because of Jesus and God, I now have everything back. I've lost all of my children. I've lost a whole year of my life sitting in jail. I was a crazy drinker, and I didn't care what anybody thought. And I read my Bible for that whole year from front to back and figured out what life was really about. And I started coming to church 3 years ago. And I finally realized who I was as a person when I was blessed going to the encounter this year with the church. I met a lot of awesome women that are my soul sisters that I talk to on a daily basis. and who I now get to work in the kids' ministry with. I do want to let you know that I have all my kids back. I have three great jobs. A beautiful new home. And I have all of you. I also do not fear for what any of you think of me or my past anymore.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I am a spoiled brat.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what happens when Jesus comes in. You get connected and you stay connected. He brings you from death to glorious life.
Amen. I was at Olive Garden. That's where she works, one of her jobs. I was at Olive Garden the other day, and she came by. She was telling me one of her testimonies. I said, you're a spoiled brat. And she went, no. And she came back later, I guess I am. You see, your Father in heaven and in this house, we want you to be spoiled. We want you to know God, not just know about God. We want you to love him. I mean, really love him. And you see, where you're connected determines how much you're going to know him. Whether you like it or not, if you're not connected, you will look green. But after a while, you'll turn brown. So many folks have said to me, Pastor, I just feel disconnected at the church. Pastor, I just don't feel like it's, you know, I really loved it, but I don't feel the same way. They're not even coming 2 hours a week. They've skipped Pastor, so many family suppers.
Can I just share, too, with Cassie, if we noted in her testimony, one of the transitions in her life is she began to serve in the house of God.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I hated about my children growing up is now I have to do the garbage. It stinks. But the truth is simply, we all, every one of us as family, you've got to have this mind transition or else you're going to remain the same. Jesus didn't save you just to put you up on a pedestal. He saved you, put power within your hands to do the mighty works of God. You have a great destiny and a purpose on this planet, not just sucking air, making a few dollars, and being put under the ground and getting to heaven. This is about you fulfilling God's destiny. And I love the fact of watching my children grow. We never pushed our children into ministry. We said, whatever you do, we'll back you up. And man, they both got degrees that we're still paying for that are not biblical degrees. I wish they would have figured it out earlier. It would have saved me money. But really what it comes down to is every parent wants their child to grow greater than they are. And your daddy in heaven, Jesus made this declaration, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. But the greater can't happen if you never come home for supper. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Remember, maybe you have never seen church in the way that we've talked about it this morning. It's always been that little religious thing that you do. You go and you fulfill your little obligation and you go home. You throw George in the plate and off you go. Today, that is not how his tabernacle runs. We want you to know our priorities here, and that is Father first. He is so awesome. He loves you with an uncompromising love. He is passionate for you. He sent his son for you. And today, he didn't just save you to go to heaven. He's got great plans for you. You know, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life. I'm going to have us all stand right now. It's dark in the room, so I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. But today, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, you're going to have to just get some muster in your guster here. And you're going to have to say, you know what, I don't really care what anybody says. I want God. And today, I want to come home. Some of you are away from home. What do I mean by that? Some of you once, I'm not even talking coming to church. I'm talking you once loved Jesus. You were passionate about Jesus. And now, man, you're not even a flame. You're not even a flicker. You need to have that fresh touch of Jesus. You need to renew your relationship with the Lord. You need to come home like the prodigal son. Today, if you need to come home, today, if you've never been home but you want to make it your home, God says, I'll give you the right to be called children of God. And you can become part of the household of faith. So today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to be brave. And I'm not going to wait long. I'm going to need you to step right out of your chair right now. Meet me right up front, right here. You can meet with me. Come on. It doesn't matter. Just keep your eyes right on me. Get right out of your chair. Grab the person next to you and say, will you go with me? They'll come with you because Jesus wants to change you. Amen. Very proud of this young man. Hallelujah. Come on. Is there anybody else in the room? Come right out of your chair this morning. Come on. You're part of the family. What I love about this is no one's going to look weird at you. We all made the same walk. Young man, proud of you. Is there anyone else? Maybe you're in a backslidden condition. You need to get right with God. Come on, come out of your chair. This is your moment. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3. Come on, come on. 2. Come on. And 1. I'm so proud of all of you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Come on over here. I want to pray with y'all. I want you to pray right out loud with me. Everyone here is going to pray with us. Are you ready? Say, dear Jesus, I need you in my life. I want to come home. I need a family. I have a blood family. But I want a family that goes further for all of eternity. So today, I call you Father. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Change me from within. I want to know you, Father God. I thank you for loving me even when I'm all messed up. I'm never going back. I'm going to keep going forward in you. And I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Minister Randall, where are you this morning? Very good. If you'll follow this young man right here, we want to minister to you. We love you. Guess what? We're going to have some salad today. How does that sound?
Ice cream. Ice cream.
For those who haven't been here long enough, salad means ice cream.
Ice cream.
Turn to someone and say, salad means ice cream. Make sure you grab your children and let's get right out there. Let's have some ice cream together. Let's relax together.
We just want to encourage you to make sure you take your next steps. Next Sunday is water baptism. Go out to the hub, get signed up, and get involved in the next steps of fulfilling your destiny in Christ.